Hare Krishna. I'm not Archita Prabhu. So somehow there was a mix-up, and then now you have gotten stuck with me at the last minute. So we'll try to say something about Krishna consciousness out of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. We're going to read something from the 9th chapter, text 34. I'll read the translation and purport. Manmana bhava mad bhakto majjimam namaskuru mam evaishasya yukyayvam atmanam matparayanaha. The translation. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhasya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Deha Dehi Vibedo Yam Nishvara Vidyate Kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demoniac. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is the favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise, from the wrong source, will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahma Jyotir and localized Paramatma. But a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at the time the supreme award of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the ninth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Giranjana Shalaka Chakshu Umili Tamzayan Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Okay, so this is a very powerful verse. In this particular verse, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna and describing to him what is the essence of human life. And that is usually a very big question, because according to our association, the essence of life can mean so many things. Growing up as a young child, by the association of different people, at one time I wanted to be a teacher. At one time I wanted to actually get involved in philosophical understanding and teaching by that association. But we see that that association didn't really answer the question in terms of what will benefit in the long term. So Krishna consciousness is meant to give us an understanding of the long term. There's Shreyas and Prayas. In the Shreyas, the immediate sense, it's if you want something, immediate reaction. Just like if you put some money in a machine, you get something immediately in return. This is the material world. Everyone is always searching for an immediate gratification, some type of immediate reaction. I've noticed myself that the children of society today, they have to have about five different things going on at one time. They can never be satisfied with just one thing. They need to have their eye touch, their phone, the TV going on, and computer going, and listening to music at the same time. And they're going back and forth. And when you try to say hello, they don't even look, they don't even hear you. You practically have to shake them. And barely they can recognize you. Because they want so much excitement. They want immediate gratification. And this is the material world. We're growing up in this material world. We grew up, they're growing up. We see that the idea is to enjoy fast and hard to the utmost, and never be satisfied with any kind of position, but always looking for more and more. This is the nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this is lust, kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhavaha. This lust, this desire for sense gratification is ingrained with each and every one of us. And it's only by association that one is able to recognize this. Just like a child, only by the association of a caring parent can he or she begin to understand the importance of focusing on your schoolwork. And don't do this, don't do that. There's do's and do nots. So only by the association can one learn. So we are reading here that by the association, one can understand or begin to inquire about what is the purpose of life. What is the real purpose? We see that we need to maintain ourselves and our family. There's no question of that. We see that if you want to live in Los Angeles and you want to live in a certain kind of lifestyle, you must work hard. You have to work hard. If you want the good things in life. Now, we see that because of the character of this material world, one becomes so much absorbed in that desire that we become overcome by these lustful desires for enjoyment. And we lose touch of what human life is meant for. And sometimes it's practically lost until you come in association with someone who can revive your consciousness. Someone who can actually tell you what is the real purpose of life. In the Bhagavatam, there's a very nice verse. It's described, Shushusho Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Seva Vipya Punya Tirtani Sevanat. It's described in Bhagavatam that if you worship and serve these great souls who are freed from all vice, that's great service. And by that service, you gain the affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva or Krishna. So this is what it takes, association. And we see that here Prabhupada talks about charlatans and yogis and impersonalists. Their desires are not to give you Krishna, but to serve them for their aggrandizement, their self-aggrandizement, their self-enjoyment. But a real pure devotee of the Lord, if you meet such a person, that what develops within you is a desire to hear about Krishna, which this whole purport is about. How to hear about Krishna. So when you come to the temple, this is what you'll get. You'll get an opportunity to hear about Krishna. And it says here that the more that you hear about Krishna, the more you become purified. The more you want to hear about Krishna. And then from that hearing, one actually becomes purified. Now, what do we mean by this purification? This is a big question. Purification. So many religions speak of of purification. Like in the Catholic Church. I was raised a Catholic. And the Catholic Church, purification was throughout the week, you can do so many crazy things. But then on Saturday, you go to the confessional. And then you tell the priest that I did this. I said a curse word 42 times this last week. And I did this 15 times. And I remember when I was going to the confessional, I had no idea that I said the bad word 42 times. I just had to say a number. Because I was told, you have to tell them a number. So I told them a number. It could have been 150, I don't know. You know, when you really get angry, you lose track. You can really get on a roll sometimes and lose consciousness. So anyway, you have to give them a number. And then the priest said, okay, that's okay. You know, just say, you know, 10 Our Fathers, 3 Hail Marys, and beg for forgiveness. And even though that was nothing, the prayer that they gave you, the Our Father prayer, takes all of about, you know, 10 seconds. And he told me to do 10 of those. And I said, man, he's tough. I was thinking, that priest is, he's so tough. 10 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys. I was thinking, my God, this guy has no mercy. And this is how cheap we take purification. This is how cheaply we take it in that form. And this is how we're taught. But real purification really means tapo divyam, a voluntary austerity, inflicting upon ourselves some austerity for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called bhakti yoga. This is what's necessary for purification. Just like husband and wife. If a husband and wife don't want to voluntarily sacrifice for each other. What is the meaning of that relationship? What is the future of that relationship? Very rocky at best. Very rocky. It may not even last. So even on the mundane level, when we talk about mundane, when we say just the ordinary life of this material world, we say that you have to perform sacrifice for each other in order to exhibit our love, to exhibit our care, and to exhibit our desire to take care of someone. And this is natural. This is not extraordinary. This is not some extraordinary thing we're speaking of here. This is natural. And this is what's called dharma. Dharma means something that you cannot do without. This isn't just religion. But dharma means that it's something that is naturally ingrained within us. And that dharma is service. It's natural. It comes natural. Papa gives the example of water. The example of water, wetness. You cannot separate it. You can't take water and separate it from wetness. And so what is our constitutional position? Service. This is what we do. Our constitutional position is serving. You must serve. It doesn't matter. It can be your senses. You have to serve your senses. You have to serve your mind. You have to serve your children. You have to serve your country. You have to serve your boss. So if one is thinking, no, it's not true, then how is that possible? The whole world is based on service. This is our constitutional position. So the Krishna Conscious Movement is to help us try to understand what real service is. What is real service? Now, in the material world, we have service, but it's for some kind of gain. If you have a job and you serve your boss, you can hate him or her, it doesn't matter. But why do you do it? Because there's a reward. There's a paycheck. It comes to the point of your desires, of what you want, what you need. And you'll perform so much austerity in order to acquire that need, what you think that need is, that standard of life, that particular type of woman or man. And you'll work all day, all night in order to acquire that goal. And you'll perform that tapasya, that voluntary infliction of pain upon yourself in order to acquire our goal. This is service. So we see that by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord, it's not that he says that you have to stop that, but one has to actually give some service to the Lord, to Krishna. If we give some service, volunteer service to Krishna, the benefit is unlimited. If you give service to your boss, there's no guarantee that you'll be not fired, isn't it? Is there any guarantee? No. You can just sacrifice yourself to the utmost. But there's no guarantee. But still we'll do it because we want certain things. So this is like making an arrangement, a deal. You know, this is how we do it. And even between relationships, we always make a deal. Husband and wife, they make a deal. It can be for so many reasons. If you're really rich, it can be for money. If you're there very beautiful, it can be for sexual pleasure. But it's all for a deal. It's an arrangement. We make that arrangement. And yes, love can be there. But what is love? Love is something that you want. You want some gratification. You want some pleasure from that association. And if that person leaves you, your heart is broken. So we see that all these things are there. But Papa describes that the only real service in the world
which is anything compared to a little bit of what we call selfless, is the relationship between the mother and the child. All of you mothers, are there mothers out in the audience? Yes, Lord. It's selfless service, isn't it? Is it selfless service? Yeah. Prabhupada used to say that changing the diaper of a child for the mother is like gold. You imagine? This is sacrifice. This is what's called love. This is love. So, by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, we can begin to understand real love. Not an arrangement. Not some kind of deal. But real love means selflessness. And in order to acquire that, we may inflict upon ourselves an austerity. So in this particular verse, it describes that the two first things that Krishna wants from us is to hear and chant about Him. He's happy with just those two things. If you hear and you chant about Him, He's completely happy. Can you imagine what a deal that is? All you have to do is chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And He's happy. And if you speak a little bit about Him, something nice, if you say God is great, He's happy. Can you imagine? And what is the benefit of that? What is the result? Eternal association with the Lord. Everybody wants to become immortal. Everyone. No one wants to die. Does anyone have any other kind of plan here? How to become immortal? Can someone fill me in on what you know? How to become immortal? Does anyone have a plan? No plan. Okay, then you might as well accept my plan. The plan that I received from His Divine Grace, Prabhupada. And that plan is by simply chanting and hearing about Krishna, one can become immortal. And never again come to this material world. Never again. Become free from all the distresses of this material existence. And there are distresses. We think that it's normal. It's normal to get sick. It's the flu season is coming. So we think that's normal. No, that isn't normal. Sick is not normal. We think it's okay to die. No, it isn't okay to die. It's painful. Birth is painful. What is old age? Those of us that are getting old age, who's happy about old age? I see some people here with white hair. Tell me, are you really happy that you're getting old? No. That's not happiness. That's not normal. That's not ecstasy. You know, when you're out there, you see kids playing, running, having fun. You can't move because you're getting a hip replacement, or you can't digest anything. You practically have to eat baby food. How is that normal? How can we say that this is normal? No, it's not normal. It's abnormal. But we've accepted it due to bad association. Because of bad association, we think that this is what it is. And it's not. Real life means understanding that you're not this body. This is real life. And it means that we should take steps in order to understand that knowledge more and more. And this is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This is the purpose of chanting. This is why we do this. And this is why we hold in such high regard association. Association is everything. Everything. If someone wants to become a Mahatma, a great soul, It doesn't matter where you come from. It's only by the association that you become a Mahatma. Because when we take birth in this material world, we're all ignorant. You know, a little baby, when it's grown, when it's born, what does it know? It knows nothing. So how does a child become prejudiced? By association. How does a child become unruly? By association. So you can see that association is imperative on all levels of existence in the material world. But we as human beings, we should our business should be to research to get the best association for the real purpose of life. And that is to go back home, back to Godhead. You will die. That's 100% true. I'll die, you'll die. And if you have good association, you'll understand that you will have to come back to this material world again unless you can remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. And to me, that was what was so wonderful about Krishna consciousness. Because the support group in Krishna consciousness is so nice. There's been so many devotees that have died. In the last year, so many devotees that I grew up with in Krishna consciousness have left this world. But what was so wonderful is that when they were dying, they were surrounded by a support group of devotees that were encouraging them to let go. You know, let go. Go back to Krishna. You know, it's actually very inspirational. Can you imagine you're on your deathbed? Who will be around you? Wouldn't it be nice to have like a cheering crowd around you? And just say to you, Savas, let go. Go back to Krishna. Hari Bol. That would be Krishna's mercy. This is the arrangement. So Krishna consciousness is like that. It's a support group to help us become more fixated on Krishna and the goal of life. And this bhakti yoga process is a very simple one. I see so many of you in the audience. You know these things. This bhakti yoga. You know everything. Most of you know a lot. But what's really important is that Krishna wants us to act on it. This is what's important. It's one thing to know something, but if you don't act on it, then what is the benefit? It's like you have an arm. If you don't use this arm, what's going to happen to it? It'll become useless. Just tie your arm up like this and don't ever use it. Obviously, atrophy will be there, right? And you'll fall off practically. So if we know this, if we have this understanding, we need to use it, to execute it, in a very simple fashion. We don't have to become a great overnight. This is not about becoming great. This is about becoming a devotee of Krishna. This is what this is about. And here in this particular verse, it describes very nicely that what's important here, as Prabhupada says, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. This is the real essence. And yes, you hear this in many circumstances. If you hear it from so many different places, you know you have, and I have also. And here we're reading the very same thing. But Krishna consciousness, you should see as being scientific. It's not simply just a religion. Religion you can change. You know, you can be a Catholic, you can be a Jew, you can be a Christian, you can be born again. You can be Hindu, you can be a Muslim. You know, in the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you were a Hindu, Muslims would come and they would sprinkle water on you that they drank from. They would drink some water and they would sprinkle it on a Hindu, and then the Hindu became a Muslim. That's how easy they were converted. In fact, there was one story where one such person went to some brahmanas and he asked the brahmanas, "What can I do? Some Muslims sprinkled water upon me and now I'm a Hindu. How can I become purified? What can I do? What should I do?" And the brahmanas, they thought about it, they contemplated, and they said, "Well, you need to drink a pot of hot ghee. And then you'll become purified." "What? Hello? What's hot boiling ghee going to do to you? You can't even drink a hot cup of tea, let alone boiling ghee." So this very same person happened to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, What? "Just chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Bas. Finished. That's all that's necessary. And one can become purified. So simple. So simple. So this is why the Krishna Conscious Movement is the only real movement that can relieve you from the clutches of this material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, "Tesam satitam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam yupayanti te." That, you know, just by this devotional service, you know, just by chanting, doing a little seva, a little bhakti, one can go back to Krishna. And what does it take? You come on Sunday, maybe do a little bit of seva, maybe feed the devotees, do some little thing. Like we have here Bhakti Tim. You hear the sound system? That's because Bhakti Tim did a little seva. He bought some speakers, he bought like a big amp, and he did some seva so that you can hear about Krishna. Let's give him a big Hari Bol. So you can hear better about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please, take Krishna consciousness seriously. Add it to your life. It is for your benefit. It's for your children. It's for the world. It helps the world. It betters the world. You may think I'm just one little insignificant person, but you will be surprised that by your insignificant little service, how Krishna will become satisfied. All of you know this story about Lord Ram, right? When he's going to Lanka to kill Ravan. And Hanumanji, you know, they were making the bridge going across the ocean. And you know this little spider? Yeah, that little spider. You know, Hanumanji was picking up mountains, tips of mountains, and throwing them into the water. And as he was doing that, there was a little spider there, and it was just, you know, flicking. You know how if they flick? Little pebbles. And he was trying to tell, "Get out of my way. Please move, I don't want to hurt you." But Lord Ramchandra said, No. I love his service. This is service." And it was just a pebble. There's no significance to it. Just a little pebble. And Lord Ramchandra appreciated it. As much as he did about Hanumanji throwing boulders into the river, into the water, Indian Ocean. No difference. So one may be big, big, big man, doing so much. But still, if you're a little, little person and you're doing little, Krishna appreciates. But what's important is the love. It's the bhakti. It's the sacrifice. Even when you're offering your food to Krishna, he doesn't need it. It's not like Krishna needs your little chapati or your sabji or your fruit. He owns all of it, for God's sake. It's his already. So what are we doing? What is the only ingredient that Krishna wants from you? It's not like you're giving him something. It's like a small child going up to, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, here's this." You know, and the daddy bought it. You know how that goes, right? You buy something and then the little child will say, "Here, you can have this, Daddy. I got this for you." He didn't have no money to buy it. The father bought it. So Krishna owns it, for God's sake. And just like the father who's accepting this gift from the child, why is he accepting it? Because the child is giving it out of love. That is the ingredient. The loving exchange is the ingredient that melts the heart of the father or the mother. So what can we give to Krishna? We own nothing. But all we can give is our heart and our love. So when we offer our food, this bhoga, to Krishna, love is the ingredient. When we chant his holy name, love is the ingredient. It must be there. This is how it will get to Krishna. Okay? So, we'll stop there. Thank you for tolerating it. I didn't have a chance to prepare for this class, so I'm sorry if it was in any way bad. If anyone would like to ask one question, we'll take a question. Otherwise, we are prasadam bhaktas. That we know. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Bol.